So what is this speaking in tongues? You know, a lot of people who are looking into Christianity for the first time, they see Pentecostals and others talking in this glossolalia, that is, these ecstatic utterances, and they think, well, no, if that's what being a Christian is about, that's not for me, I'm just not that kind of person. And yet, on the other hand, you read the Bible and you read in the New Testament about the early church speaking in tongues. And you ask yourself, well, what is this? And that's what I want to just discover a little bit from the Bible. Well, when you come to Acts chapter 2, Jesus has risen from the dead and he's ascended to heaven, and now the disciples are preaching about him. And they were mocked by the Jews in Acts chapter 5 that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and it uses the Greek word agrammatos, people without grammar, people without education. So these guys didn't know anything other than their native languages, and yet they had to take the gospel to all the world, to people from all over the world who all had their own native languages. So in Acts chapter 2, let's see what happened. The Holy Spirit, that is the power of God, came upon them, and they used that power in order to preach the gospel. Now, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, have been given throughout biblical history as specific things at specific times. God's help to do specific things at specific times. Acts chapter 2 then, you can see the problem they had. They needed to preach the gospel to lots of different people. Well, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages. The old English says other tongues. They began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them to speak. And there were Jews dwelling at Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And the crowds came together and were amazed because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they said to one another, how is it, verse 8, that each of us heard in his own native language? And it lists all the places where they were from, Parthia, Media, Mesopotamia, Pontus, Libya, Egypt, Crete. We hear them speaking in our language the mighty works of God, and they were amazed. Well, I've been to many Pentecostal meetings and meetings where people are claiming to speak in tongues, and I don't get a sense of amazement at all. It is not a language that anyone can understand. Whereas these people heard the gospel preached in their native language and were impressed. Now, you would not be impressed if somebody is just talking to you with a range of sounds that, forgive me, but sound like mumbo jumbo, that you don't understand, you take no message away with you from what they're saying. Well, this phenomena, which is called glossolalia, is not confined to Christianity. The idea of ecstatic utterance. You find this in all kinds of religion, and it's been noted as a phenomena that can occur. For some people, at some times, given certain surrounding situations. That's not the same as getting the power of God to speak in languages. And I would prefer to talk about the gift of languages rather than the gift of tongues. Because that's clearly, from Acts 2, what it is. Now, later on in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talks about this gift and how it should be used. And it's quite clear from how he speaks that clearly it refers to speaking in a language that can be understood, a human language. He says, verse 13 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, let him that speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 16, otherwise, how shall the person who doesn't understand say, Amen, that is, I agree, so be it, at your giving of thanks, if he doesn't understand what you say? So Paul says, verse 19, I would rather speak five words that are understood so that I might teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue, in a language that you don't understand. Если, например, я говорил бы на русском с вами, вряд ли вы поняли бы, зачем вообще говорить с вами на русском. I was speaking Russian. What I said was, if I were to speak to you in Russian, what would be the point? I need to talk to you in a language that you understand. And so he goes on to say that if there is no interpreter, verse 29, don't speak, be silent, don't use the gift in the church. You can understand, let's say there's a French speaker who only speaks French, a Russian speaker that only speaks Russian, and an English speaker. And there they are in the church, they want to hear the gospel. So the guy starts speaking in English, and the French guy and the Russian guy, they're like, well, I don't understand. Well, if then the person who's preaching has the gift of tongues, he suddenly starts speaking in Russian. But the French guy is sitting there thinking, well, I don't understand. What's the point? You're giving me a message in Russian. I don't speak Russian. Okay? So what was needed was an interpreter. If you had the gift of tongues and you started speaking in another language for the benefit of some people who needed that language, well, what about everyone else in the church? They're not being taught anything. So, Paul says, if there's no interpreter of the language or of the tongue, don't use it. Don't cause division in the church by doing that. And this is why Paul says in verse 18, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. And why did Paul use this gift more than anybody else? Because he travelled more than anybody else into all language areas and language areas, and he needed this ability to speak in these different languages. And so he says that, verse 22, tongues are a sign not to those who believe, but to the unbeliever. That is, it is to be used in the context of preaching the gospel to the unbeliever. And he says, verse 23, if the whole church is assembled together and you all speak with different languages, that is, using this gift that they had to speak in different languages, and there comes in an unbeliever, will they not say that you're mad? And you know, can you not see? That's exactly what the Pentecostal movement are doing. They are a disadvertisement for Christianity because people open the door, have a look in there, see everybody jumping in and out of the window and talking in mumbo-jumbo, and said, this is crazy, this is not for me, this is not the religion I'm looking for, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Not for a show, not for entertainment. And so Paul goes on here and he says, speak only two or three. Two or three people should use this, verse 29, and let the others interpret him. And that makes sense because I don't think you need more than two or three people speaking in a foreign language at any one time in a church service. It might be that, let's say, you're preaching in English and maybe there is a Russian guy there who only speaks Russian. So you'd need someone to speak in tongues. Maybe there might be at the same time a French person who only speaks French, and possibly there might be a Chinese who only speaks Chinese, but he says, look, no more than two or three. And that makes sense. This is true to sort of observed reality in church life. 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, if you've got the gift, you will be in control. This is not the same as being in a trance, as being out of control, as being out of your mind. Now, he then says, verse 34, and let the women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak. Now, whatever that means, and that's a difficult verse of Paul's, whatever it means, it's in the context of speaking in tongues. And he's saying that the women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted for them to speak. And the context is talking about speaking in tongues. Now, looking at all that information that we've got here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, compare that with what's going on in churches today. Women are speaking in tongues in the churches, or languages they should be speaking, but let's say speaking in tongues. People are speaking not just two or three, like the whole community, the whole church is talking in this mumbo jumbo, as I'm calling it, and there is no interpreter. He says in this context, let all things be done decently and in order, and not in a way that would make the unbeliever take a look in and say that this is crazy. Well, that is what's happening. Let's face it, that is what's happening. And he says that there must be interpretation of the words that are spoken, so that you're all on the same page, so that the whole body of the church that are listening, everyone understands. He says one word in a tongue or a language, the interpreter translates it, or maybe sentence by sentence, let's say. So that everyone is together. This is continuing a theme that he's developed in Corinthians of unity in the church. What's going on in the Pentecostal movement is absolutely the direct opposite of what he is teaching here in 1 Corinthians 14. It's because they've confused the psychological phenomena of glossolalia, that's the technical term for these ecstatic utterances, they've confused that with what the Bible would call speaking in tongues or language. If you were to take your phone into a Pentecostal church where people are speaking in tongues, so-called, and you just record it, or audio record it, and then you come home, and you play it back, and you analyze what's being said, this is not language. Now, language is defined, and in the field of linguistics, people have analyzed what makes a language. The syntax that's used when you're talking in any human language is very different to what you hear in the mumbo-jumbo of the Pentecostal movement. This is not language. This is not any gift of tongue or language. Very often those people are repeating the same sounds, so many times over. And if you say to them, well, what did you say? What was your message? Oh, I don't know. Or you find a very simplistic explanation is given, oh, well, I was just saying, I love you, Jesus. But it's like, baba, 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 baba. That lacks the sort of definition that you would require to call that a language. You're just repeating the same noise, the same syllable, time and again. The intonation, the flow of language, any human language, is not to be found there. Also, I'd like to point out that the phenomena of glossolalia, that is people having ecstatic utterances, is not limited to Christianity. It's not limited to Christianity. Voodoo worshippers have very similar experiences, and so do all sorts of pagan religions. And so when you ask, well, why do you speak in tongues? Well, they have this phenomenon, let's say. Well, people who do it will say, oh, because I was just carried away. The Spirit came upon me. But Paul says, in this context, the Spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. It's under their control. So it's not talking about being in a trance, out of your mind. Not at all. Recently I was in Paris, in France, in a Pentecostal church comprised of many, many folks newly arrived from Africa. These people had had terrible journeys to get to France, fleeing persecution, crossing the Mediterranean in very dangerous situations. You get to Paris, you get to France, don't get documents, don't get accepted by the government, so they're living on the street, and pretty depressing kind of life, no money, life's very, very difficult for these folks. And generally pretty depressed. They go to church on a Sunday, and they're out of their mind. With this trance, with this speaking in this ecstatic way. Now, psychologically, that is understandable. That is a classic, actually. Absolutely classic. That all those restrained emotions, feelings, suddenly find a way out. But if you ask those people, do you speak in tongues outside of church? Many of them will say, if they're honest, no, I don't. So they get into a certain environment, often with music, with loud music, often very rhythmic music, and they get worked up psychologically into a certain position where this phenomena occurs. But outside that environment, it doesn't happen. Very often, if somebody for some reason stops going to a church, maybe they are moved away from that area forcibly, and they're without the influence of the pastor, they're not attending the church, they stop speaking in tongues. They may not necessarily stop believing in God and in the Lord Jesus, but this phenomena stops. That is widely observable, and something that many personal testimonies about that. Now look, the gift of tongues or languages in the Bible is different. It was for a specific usage at a specific time. Well, I'm not just knocking down another religion or another way of doing Christianity. Why I say this, why I'm bothering to talk about this with you, is because I've known so many sincere folks who've been through this experience, then they fall out with the church for some reason, or they see it's all about money and that they get disillusioned. And then they fall into a very deep depression, and they feel guilty that, oh, I'm not speaking in tongues anymore. You don't need to feel guilty at all. Don't feel guilty. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that everyone's given a different gift. This was in the first century, and only some people were given this gift of language. Only some people. So don't be told, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's not true, because Paul says each person is given a different gift. And he actually puts the gift of tongues at the bottom of the list, like he didn't think it was that significant. Some people have this gift, some people have that gift. So don't be manipulated to feel that you therefore are not with the Lord Jesus because you can't speak in this ecstatic utterance any longer. Don't feel like that. And what I suggest you do is to actually read the Bible for yourself. If you'd like a free Bible with commentary, send us an email with your address and we'll send you a hard copy. Anywhere in the world. And if you would like that in electronic format, obviously we can also provide that as well. So then, what I'm saying is that there is God and there is the Lord Jesus and there is His Word. And we are to follow that. And you can have an absolutely valid experience with the Lord Jesus by being baptized into Him by full immersion in water as an adult and walking in Christ and seriously and soberly praying to Him and rejoicing in the great things that the Lord has done and in His return and the hope we have of the life eternal in His kingdom. You can rejoice in all that, but don't let anyone guilt trip you over this issue of tongues. Thank you, and God bless you.